Radio News Corps reports.
Equipo News Corps is issuing this communique following an analysis of judgment number 16-2005 given in the Salingo case, which was published in the Audiencia Nacional, National Court in Madrid, on April 19, 2005, by the third section of the criminal division, made up of judges Fernando García Nicolás, president, Jorge Campos Martínez, and José Ricardo de Prada Solesa, in charge of drafting the judgment.
The complete judgment has been digitalized and edited with an index prepared by us and is now online on our webpage about the Salingo case. It will now be accessible for general interest and in particular for human rights defenders and organizations dedicated to the defense of human rights and peace.
Although it is no more than a historical coincidence, we should bear in mind that this judgment concerning crimes against humanity was published on April 19th, the date on which the world remembers the victims of the Warsaw Ghetto uprisings.
It also coincides with various ceremonies in memory of the 60th anniversary of the liberation of the National Socialist extermination camps, where, as in this case, Spanish nationals also numbered among the victims. We take the opportunity here to pay homage to all of them.
Wohin auch das Auge blicket, Moor und Heide nur ringsum. Vogelsang uns nicht erquicket, Eichen stehen kahl und krumm.
With those two considerations in mind, we wish to state the following.
With respect to the judgment.
The judgment, which finds that crimes against humanity were committed in this case, represents an important advance in the history of law in Spain in that, for the first time, it applies principles of international law in a manner which is systematic, rational, and in many ways uniquely important.
The judgment considers in detail the elements of this kind of crime and enables a precise understanding of its significance and of how this category of crime should be used in internal state jurisdictions. In other words, how crimes against humanity apply in domestic law.
The judgment defines these crimes on the basis of the jurisprudence developed in cases dealt with by the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia. This court has produced an updating and systematization of international law in the area of crimes against humanity and war crimes.
The judgment sets out a well-developed basis for the application of the principle of individual criminal responsibility in ordinary state jurisdiction, which affects those who are responsible for the commission of these crimes.
We believe that it constitutes a precedent in the defense of human rights and of international human rights law, and in the struggle against models of impunity.
With respect to the sentence,
the judgment states that the evidence did not prove that Adolfo Silingo was a member of the task force of ESMA, and that therefore there was no need to consider the principle of criminal organization. It therefore convicts the accused only of those crimes in which he directly participated, albeit finding that those crimes constitute crimes against humanity. Although we understand the reasons that led to this decision, we continue to believe that the defendant is responsible for the acts of this operations group.
We think it is necessary to clarify here that this line of argument was raised solely by the popular accusation of the Argentinian Association for Human Rights in Madrid, and was later supported by the popular accusations of the IU and of Graciela Palacios de Lois at the time that the oral statements of final conclusions were due.
The argument was expressly opposed by the remaining popular and private accusations in the case. This is apparent in the official minutes of the 43rd session of the trial, as well as the written statements of the closing arguments submitted by the parties. The full text of these documents are all available on the Equipo News Corps webpages concerning the trial.
We agree completely with the analysis of the crime of genocide as explained in the judgment, and we express our firm conviction that this type of international law offense is not sustainable in the light of the proven facts, given that it is impossible here to prove the required mens rea for this category of offense, and also bearing in mind that this type of crime exists to deal with criminal racial law of the kind used by National Socialism to justify some of its crimes.
We also wish to stress that, after crimes of aggression or crimes against peace, which are the most serious in the scale of international crimes, the commission of crimes against humanity constitutes the most serious offense recognized in international law, and includes genocide as well as other crimes and offenses. It is false to argue otherwise, and has the result of confusing both the victims and public opinion.
We agree with the court's analysis of the crime of terrorism. Although states can commit terrorist acts, those cases of systematic repression, such as that which occurred in Argentina and other countries, constitute crimes against humanity. To use the definition of terrorism to apply in this case would confuse the categories of crime and the responsibilities of a state when confronted with acts of this nature. To accept this reasoning would have meant an unacceptable devaluation of the concept of serious human rights violations.
With respect to the victims,
we believe that the judgment not only sets out an efficient form of protection for victims of crimes against humanity, but also provides a precedent in its application of international criminal jurisdiction within a national jurisdiction, thereby constituting a useful instrument in the struggle against impunity.
We agree with the assessment of Antonio Cassese, referred to in the judgment, that in an analysis of the categorization of crimes, it is important that the classic principle of criminal and penal law, nullum crimen, nulla pena sine lege, is expressed in international law as nullum crimen sine jure, which allows a much wider interpretation of the requirements of this principle, such that a crime could be categorized as such in international law, even if it were not considered a crime in internal law.
We agree with the assessment that complementarity to, and perhaps pursuant to, a different line of argument, we believe that it is helpful to refer to the text of Article 7 of the European Convention on Human Rights concerning the principle of criminal law that establishes the following. 1. No one shall be held guilty of any criminal offense on account of any act or omission which did not constitute a criminal offense under national or international law at the time when it was committed, nor shall a heavier penalty be imposed than one that was applicable at the time the criminal offense was committed. 2. This article shall not prejudice the trial and punishment of any person for any act or omission which, at the time when it was committed, was criminal according to general principles of law recognized by civilized nations.
If it were not possible to convict for these types of crimes in internal law, we would be in the absurd situation where the perpetrators would be immune from prosecution simply by crossing a border. We believe that the principle of nullum crimen sine lege should not prevail when its application would constitute a greater immorality, that is, to allow certain particularly egregious offenses to go unpunished.
We would point out that this judgment is not final, and that an appeal may be filed in the Second Division of the Spanish Supreme Court, this being the likely action taken by the defendant in the exercise of his legitimate right to a defense.
Regarding our involvement in this case,
Equipo Niscor digitalized the record of criminal proceedings of Sumario 1997 and photographed in full the principal part of the record comprising 104 volumes.
Niscor also photographed a selection of documents from the 183 volumes which make up the pieza separada, separate evidentiary record, of the proceedings. These photographs were taken following an analysis of the same by a team of experts in international human rights law and war crimes led by Equipo Niscor. These volumes were not available to the parties until the investigation phase of the proceedings were concluded. In total, 30,000 files were made.
Equipo Niscor prepared the only accusation submitted which characterized the offenses as crimes against humanity based on international human rights law, and we also prepared the documentary evidence supporting the accusation.
We are therefore very pleased by the outcome, and would particularly like to express our gratitude for the assistance of the members and volunteers of our organization, without whose efforts, support, and solidarity, we could not have achieved our objective.
That's the latest information made public by Equipo Niscor as of April
20th, 2005.
To pay homage to the victims of the Navy School of Mechanics, the victims of the Warsaw Ghetto, and to all those who died in the National Socialist extermination camps, we will now play the song Die Mort Soldaten, known in French as Le Chant des Marais, and in English as The Peat Bog Soldiers.
This song was written in 1934 to 1936 by Rudy Gogel and Herbert Kermse at the Borgermoor concentration camp. The song spread from camp to camp clandestinely and became the hymn for deportees and political prisoners, who would be exterminated in most cases.
It is an anti-military song. It is approximately 4 minutes long.
This is the German version of Die Mort Soldaten.
Wohin auf das Auge blicket, Moor und Heide nur ringsum. Vogelsang uns nicht erquicket, Eichen stehen kahl und krumm. Wir sind die Moorsoldaten und ziehen mit dem Spaten ins Moor. We Wir sind die Moorsoldaten und ziehen mit dem Spaten ins Moor. Hier in dieser öden Heide ist das Lager aufgebaut, wo wir fern von jeder Freude hinter Stacheldraht verstaut. Wir sind die Moorsoldaten und ziehen mit dem Spaten ins Moor. Wir sind die Moorsoldaten und ziehen mit dem Spaten ins Moor. Morgens ziehen die Kolonnen durch das Moor zur Arbeit hin, graben bei dem Brand der Sonne, doch zur Heimat steht der Sinn. Wir sind die Moorsoldaten und ziehen mit dem Spaten ins Moor. Wir sind die Moorsoldaten und ziehen mit dem Spaten ins Moor. Auf und nieder gehen die Posten, keiner kann hindurch. Flucht wird nur das Leben kosten, vierfach ist umzäunt die Burg. Wir sind die Moorsoldaten und ziehen mit dem Spaten ins Moor. Wir sind die Moorsoldaten und ziehen mit dem Spaten ins Moor. Doch für uns gibt es kein Klagen, ewig kann nicht Winter sein. Einmal werden froh wir sagen, Heimat, du bist wieder mein. Dann ziehen die Moorsoldaten nicht mehr mit dem Spaten ins Moor. Dann ziehen die Moorsoldaten nicht mehr mit dem Spaten ins Moor.
For further detailed information on the Salingo case, you can visit Equipo News Corps' webpage. The official minutes of the trial, as well as the full text of the written statements of closing arguments submitted by the parties, are also available on our website.
Also, a series of audio documents from the trial sessions have been produced by Radio News Corps with the collaboration of the Shell Center for Human Rights at Yale Law School. They are available in both MP3 and real media formats.
This program has been produced by Radio News Corps at our Madrid studios on April 26th, 2005.
You've been listening to Radio News Corps.